Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to High Energy Health. I am so delighted you're here because you being here means you care about you. You made this choice to participate in this wonderful community to expose your mind and your heart and your spirit to positive, uplifting messages. That is such a powerful choice. There are so many places you can go and so many sources of information you can consume. And when you pick positive ones, when you pick positive people and music and media shows, then you are voting for filling your own mind with wisdom and inspiration. So I'm so glad you're here. And as always, I recommend that you do a couple of things. One is that you listen actively, active listening. So not just sitting back there and thinking, oh, how inspiring this is, but you actually be making notes and having an action plan, deciding how you'll actually apply those insights to your own life. So after every hour, you wind up with an action plan. So make sure you're taking notes and that you're looking at those insights. And to make sure you do, I usually interrupt our guests several times during the course of the show and turn it into a little exercise to have you actually make a note and then apply it to your own life. So make sure you have your journal or notepad handy. We'll be doing that throughout the show, to make sure you walk away with your own personal action plan as a result of today's insights. The second thing I'd like to ask you to do is I'd like to ask you to send links to shows to people you know who they might really help. And, for example, I have a friend right now who's really suffering from a severe bout of depression. So what do? I can email him a few resources to help him shift that mood and that energy. So be compassionate. Share the wealth. If you find ideas, if you find concepts that are useful to people you know in your life, your family, your team, share them. Share them with those people and let's make sure that everybody knows there are those resources. When you are in the middle of anxiety or you're stuck in an old pattern or you're in pain, it's hard to remember there's so much good stuff out there. So email links to the show to people you know who they could benefit. You will be so inspired by my guest today. His name is Amrit Sanghu, and he's an international speaker and a life purpose coach. Episodes of his podcast, which is called Inspired Evolution, and you can find that at inspiredevolution.com, have been heard or downloaded by more than 2 million people. He's also gone through his own series of challenges, from mental health struggles to a career that didn't fit, and on a profound transformational journey which he shares with others and helps others now to find their magic, their place in life. Again, his website is inspiredevolution.com. Amrit, so good to have you here.
Oh my God, Dawson, it is such a pleasure and an honor and a treat and a privilege. We had you on the podcast not so long ago. And, just such a massive fan of your work. And, yeah, I'm just having some of my self-worth stuff come up being interviewed by you here today. If I can be honest. It's a real treat to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you know, when you find your own authenticity and mission in life the way you have that you've shared with others, that's so powerful because then you're not just going on this transformational journey. You're actually enabling others to do it themselves. Just share, for those who don't know your background, what that initial journey was, what that career mismatch was, and how you broke through.
Yeah, touch wood. So I'll keep it concise, just the nature of yeah, and we can dive in deeper if we need to. So the first big existential crisis, Dark Night of the Soul, that I had, and the first thing that I went on my own hero's journey on was, I struggled with depression for about 6 years, and the sword that I slayed that dragon with, I guess, for me, touchwood, and I'm conscious it's not the same for everybody, happened to be meditation and mindfulness. For me, that was an incredible gift. The second big challenge that I had was actually 7.5 years of career misalignment. So that was, yeah, that I think that's the one that gave birth to the Inspired Evolution, but I think both of, if anything, the depression was definitely more harrowing than the career misalignment, I would say. But I think the career misalignment could have easily been sent to a worse place did I not have the tools that I had from having gone through the first challenge. So, yeah, 7 years of going to work. And also the key thing when I sort of share career misalignment, like, it's important to focus in on those words a little bit, I think, because the career was an amazing career. It just wasn't an amazing career for Amrit. Yeah, so there is someone out there that is absolutely designed for that career, and, you know, all the success that everybody was touting that I had achieved, which was like, you're so lucky. So I was like, yeah, absolutely, but it doesn't quite feel like that day to day. It actually feels the opposite. There is someone that is very lucky to be in that career, absolutely, touchwood. But the idea is that we're all meant to be in a line, like, I believe there's an opportunity for us to align to the career path, the life path that, you know, we were put here to do, more so than just job satisfaction. But even bigger than that is, like, you know, as far as you're aware, there's been the veil of forgetfulness, and we can talk about some of those spiritual concepts, but, you know, we're here as a soul, and we've got this opportunity to be here. What the ego perceives and the mind perceives is, once, obviously, we're reincarnated again and again, but it's your job to honor this, right, to the best of your ability. And so how do you do that, right? Like, what is it that you're here to experience and do and achieve, and the impact you're meant to have in the time that you're here? And so that was the birthplace of the Inspired Evolution podcast, being stuck in this aligned place, the sort of gift that sort of popped out of that second hero's journey, like the Dark Night of the Soul, and having gone to face another dragon, the thing that popped out amongst all the things I was throwing at the wall to see what would stick, was the Inspired Evolution podcast. And that's been completely transformative for me. The last 7 years of podcasting incredible individuals such as yourself every week without missing a beat. Now we do 2 a week. Yeah, it's been absolutely transformative.
So I'm going to ask you now, ask our listeners, ask you, as you're hearing Amrit sharing this, grab that journal, grab a piece of paper, and ask yourself, where in my life am I experiencing that misalignment? It might not be in career. It might be in relationships. It might be in your relationship with your body. It might be self-talk. You may have self-talk going on that doesn't match the highest that you know you are. I know for me, my big one is being married. If you're married and you're with somebody all the time, then I notice how I'm relating to my wife when I've said something that's a little bit off. Do I look at that mismatch? Is there a misalignment there between who I know I can be as a husband and what I'm about to say? Am I correct? So every one of these things is a chance to become mindful. So just take a moment now in your journal. No one's looking over your shoulder. This is between you and the universe. But just write down any area of your life. It could be money, could be career, could be relationships, could be spirituality, could be your body, where you feel that kind of mismatch that Amrit's been describing. And again, you can work more on this later on. You can meditate on this. You can extract much more meaning from this as time goes on. But for the time being, just make a note of where you can feel deep in your bones there's that mismatch. So let's go now into meditation. And I think for so many people, meditation is the game changer. What style of meditation was it? What led you into learning it? Who taught you? What were your initial experiences? Where did you go from there? What was it like for you?
Yeah, so the very first initial instance of it, I was sitting opposite the psychologist when I got diagnosed with depression, and in Australia, the way you sort of make your way to a psychologist is you got to make your way through a general practitioner. So you go see your GP, they give you a mental health plan, and you end up with a psychologist. Psychologist, in her infinite wisdom, has prescribed me, or psychiatrist, has prescribed me antidepressants. This is what you need. Off you go. And just before I walk out of the clinic, the GP, because they're across the hall from each other, she's like, oh, come in here for a second. She was this Thai lady. I owe this lady so much. My God. And she said, look, I used to do some mental health work, and here's a breathing exercise for you to adopt. And I remember in all of my adolescent, you know, I want to call it wisdom, but it's very far from wisdom at that time, I think. But, you know, there was just this real, hey, like, are you serious, lady? Like, breathing, like, I breathe.
Don't we all do that all the time?
you know what I mean? It was just like, I'm sitting here opposite you because I'm breathing. Like, what are you talking about breathing, you know? And she's like, here's a breathing exercise, and it's going to be extremely beneficial for you if you can adopt it. And I remember she wrote it down on a post-it note. I took the post-it note, and I was just sort of, yeah, happy days. Thank you so much for that. And I went and fulfilled my prescription. I remember taking my first antidepressant, and it was amazing. It was incredible. I was, like, on a high, and I was just like, oh, my God, this is what life feels, unfettered. Like, whoa. Which was all well and good until about four and a half hours later when I started to level back out. And I probably was just returning back to baseline, but it felt quite low after the perch I'd just been on. And so I remember looking at the box of medication kind of going, like, I didn't know much back then, and it was probably, like, moment of intervention. But anyway, I took the box and just dropped it in the bin and just sort of said, no, thank you, even though that is the lifeline that was prescribed to me. And then I happened to be in this really anxiety-provoking situation for myself, which was not comfortable. But I say, like, I was walking down the corridor at university, and the wall started to close in, is literally the way I was experiencing it. I didn't know it was anxiety. We didn't have the common vernacular around anxiety and depression back then, but I had been diagnosed with depression, so I had this exercise. And one of my coping mechanisms at the time was to call people. I didn't realize, but I would just connect with people. I now know my values to be connection, contribution, celebration, so I was leaning into my authentic self to support me through these places. But I picked up my phone, and on the back of my phone was a post-it note. And there was a breathing exercise that the lady had prescribed me. And I'll share it with you guys here today. So take a moment, get comfortable. If you're driving, then, you know, maybe come back to this part later. Or operating heavy machinery and all those little things. But if you're not, then, yeah, I won't keep you here super long. But it's a very simple breathing technique. So taking a moment to just, you're going to count your breaths. So take a deep breath in. And that's one. And give a deep breath back. That's two. Breathing in. Three. Breathing out. Four. Breathing in. Five. Breathing out. Six, breathing in. Seven, breathing out. Eight, breathing in. Nine, breathing out. Ten, breathing in. Nine, breathing in. 8, breathing in. 7, breathing out. 6, breathing in. 5, breathing out. 4, breathing in. 3, breathing out. 2, breathing in. 1, and breathing out. 2. Getting back in your own time. No rush. Your eyes are closed, gently getting back into the space you're in. Easy does it.
Do we have to come back?
And that was it. It became an addictive place to be over time. In that moment, as I was breathing for the first time, with every breath, the walls, and I know what this sounds like, so come on, don't be so incredulous, but seriously, the walls were breathing out, breath by breath, breath by breath. And I was just like, what is this that's creating space in my being? It was an experience. That brought me to mindfulness. Now, mindfulness is not to be confused with meditation. It's a type of meditation, but I think as you start to go deeper and deeper into meditation, meditation becomes this exploration of the inner self rather than just being present in the present moment. Mindfulness can be a great way to enter into meditation. There's a whole world waiting for those that are curious to go deeper into meditation there. Mindfulness is a great place to start, and as you can experience in the energy that was in this call prior to us taking a pause to breathe and after the pause to breathe, you know, and Dawson holds an incredible space. Even then, just us dropping in together to breathe, there's so much more space. There's just so much more ease, just so much more flow. But the rush has just settled. There's nowhere that we've got to get to now. And that was phenomenal to experience. And that was an anchor for me to get through depression, to just come back into this state. And learning things about, you know, then over time I got curious. I was like, oh, this is mindfulness. What is mindfulness? And I was like, being present in the present moment. Ah, the present moment. And I was like, oh, most of the depression is anchored in the past. And the thing you experienced in that moment was anxiety about the future. But actually, hang out here. And like you said, do we have to come back? Can we just stay here? The present moment is ever-gifting. Such a gift.
So, and 4 hours from now, it's still there for you.
always there for you, you know. And then as the hours tick over to the fifth hour and the sixth hour, you can just connect back in. And like, it takes you less than 30 seconds to a minute to do that exercise, you know. And
we shouldn't forget the longest of side effects, though, too, Amrit. So among the many, many side effects you'll read on the side of the meditation and mindfulness labels are things like sense of well-being, inner peace, joy, compassion, acceptance, self-acceptance.
Yeah, and it goes on and on and on. And it's such a gateway drug, I would say, for all those things, you know, like, because it starts with, oh, that doesn't feel comfortable, like I'm sitting with my body. It's like, oh, I need to stretch that out. And then you're like, oh, now I'm turning into a yogi just sitting here. and then, you know, you start to eat cleaner, you start to think clearer, you're conscious about the words that you choose when you're talking with people, and you're like, oh, those are the words that I choose with myself. And just, like you said, the self-talk starts to improve. Self-talk starts to improve, self-love starts to grow, and you can argue spirituality is just another name for self-love, really. Yeah, there's so much goodness in there.
Yeah, so those practices are powerful. Start them, and as Amrit was saying, it's addictive. You'll soon discover you want to do that. After you've had a few deep meditation experiences, you don't need an accountability partner. You don't need to set your alarm clock. You don't need to remind yourself. You don't need to have a notification on your device. You will want to do it over and over and over again.
Yeah, and sometimes I can, like, you start to really understand the nature of your own frazzle, if I can put it that way. And when you're feeling frazzled, you know what tools to reach for when you're in there now. It's like, oh, I can feel the frazzle. I definitely need to take some time to just sit and allow everything in my mind to settle. Meditation would be one great for me.
But as you began to use that simple, very simple technique that I'm so glad that GP gave that to you, because had enough of that doctor giving you an alternative, you'd have only had the one solution, antidepressants. And many people go on them, don't know about alternatives, and they wind up staying on them, and they become chronic users of antidepressants. So I'm so glad you had that window of that wise doctor. And where did you go from there? What was your next exploration?
Well, I just wanted to jump in there for a quick second, and I'll answer your question. But one of the things that we're finding now, like, the research is in, and it's 1 in 2 people alive will experience anxiety or depression. And I just find that a harrowing stat. Also, like, I just look at that and I'm like, 1 in 2, you know, that is just so high. And it just causes me pause to reflect, like, and so the medical model, and I'm not people in the medical model, like, I think it's amazing, the gifts, you know, like, because a lot of the chemical imbalances of serotonin are important for us to recognize when it comes to balancing out our hormones and the levels of, you know, the feel-good chemicals in our mind, absolutely. But I refuse to believe, I'm going to become a bit vigilante in this conversation, but a bit of an activist, but I refuse to believe that 1 in 2 people are meant to be walking around medicated all the time. Like, surely there's something in society underlying that's, you know, driving a lot more. There's a lot more to poke at than what just meets the eye here. With 1 in 2 people walking around anxious or depressed, I think there's a lot to be said for potentially the way, since I feel like there's a systemic failure in society at large, the way that we're living it, that, you know, there is, and this is one of the symptomologies of it. That for me just can't believe that, you know, that would be the prescription. It's like everybody needs to walk around, like one, like 50% of the population needs to walk around medicated now, please. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like high energy health to me. I'm not buying that. So those are some of my, and that's where the foray of like, you know, where to from here sort of started to begin, right? So for me, mindfulness and meditation to honor like your question, that led me down an amazing path because, yeah, my whole world had, I didn't just, young adolescent male doesn't just walk into a psychologist going, hey, something's wrong. My whole world had collapsed. My partner was basically leaving me. My friends had basically disowned me. Parents couldn't recognize me. My work, my studies, everything collapsed around me. Like, it was full blown. Like, it wasn't a pretty place at all, right? And then that transformed over the coming 2.5 years, 3 years, where, you know, I changed cities, I changed universities, I changed everything, and turned my entire life around. And that's what landed me in this really incredible gift of a place where I, when I graduated university, I got offered the best potential job I could get. There's a whole line of accolades, touch wood, as to how that happens. But yeah, I got the most incredible job a graduate with my degree in my city could get. And even then, it wasn't right for me. That was the really interesting part. You know, it's like, you get your pick of the litter of the jobs, mate. And even then, 7.5 years down the line from that job, it was like, and I knew sort of at day one, to be honest, because all the work I'd had to put in through the mindfulness meditation, the self-awareness about values, personal values, who I really am, what I stand for, all the things I had to course correct. When I got to the job, I remember looking at the mentors in the space kind of going, embodying some of the stuff I'd already had to work through at this age, you know, not from a place of judgment, but just like, wow, what am I going to be learning here? Like, skills, but character-wise, there's not a lot I want to pick up from these people, right? And so then began this journey of still being career misaligned, despite having such a great level of self-awareness, or like a greater level of self-awareness, I think, touch wood, because of all the challenges that I've been through. I can't say great, because we're all on the journey of continually expanding our self-awareness. But yeah, nonetheless, that then still led to, you know, the existential angst of being misaligned. And you could almost argue the existential angst was more pronounced because I was aware of, you know, what was in alignment and what wasn't alignment. And I could feel the misalignment, but I didn't know what to do about it. And I think so many people are stuck in that space.
Yeah, so you feel misalignment internally, but you don't know why, and there's no mental frame to explain it to yourself and discover where you are and where to go next. We're going to go to a break right now. Please stay tuned. You're listening to High Energy Health. My guest is Amrit Sandhu. His website is inspiredevolution.com. We'll be right back after a break.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
Make a six-figure income and help others overcome their deepest traumas, anxieties, and fears. It's easy to have a rewarding career in energy healing, and you can become certified in less than a year. Not sure if you'll like it? Try it. Download a free course sampler at newhealer.com. Taught by expert faculty at newhealer.com, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies, and you can even train at your own pace while supporting your own health. So visit newhealer.com. Do it now. That's newhealer.com.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Your DNA is not your destiny. There are many genes in your cells that are turned on and off by your emotions, your experiences, and even your beliefs. In his brilliant new book, The Genie in Your Genes, best-selling researcher Dr. Dawson Church shows how you can cultivate a stress-free mental state that activates the genes that boost your immunity and energy levels. Voted best health book by USA Book News, The Genie in Your Genes is packed with practical advice on how to apply the science of epigenetics for health and longevity. Get The Genie in Your Genes today.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.HealthyLife.net.
Hi, and welcome back to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. I love sharing with you every week on the show. I come to every episode feeling inspired myself, feeling as though connecting in this community, connecting in this energetic and informational space is so powerful, and it's an antidote to all the other things going on out there. There was one study published recently that called immersing oneself in well-being, like we're doing here, meditation and mindfulness. The word that the researchers used was inoculation. It inoculates you against all the chaos in the media and social media and everywhere else. So get a good big dose. Inoculate yourself from all that stuff by listening to High Energy Health, by giving yourself a wonderful energetic environment and emotional environment to support you among the challenges of life. So I'm so curious now. You were at this place where for 7 years, from day one, you felt there was that mismatch there. What was the catalyst for taking action to shift that?
Yeah, so there was a, I would love to sort of say there was a one pinpoint moment, and my truth is that it wasn't. It was a series of things that happened. And I think it's important to recognize that, because a lot of people, you know, I think we have this expectation where we're going to go along and there's going to be a moment in time where everything just pivots. And actually, it's change and transformation is a gradual process. But just about everybody that I've met now, definitely all the sort of energy does get dammed up at some point, and there is a little split in the wall with, you know, water starts to gush out and then, you know, the energy releases. But for the most part, you know, the water building up behind the dam is a gradual process, you know, and each water droplet and molecule counts. So there are two big moments where I had quite a serious realization that this was, yeah, that I was misaligned and that something was going to shift, and they were in the last year of me shifting. You'd think the birthplace of the podcast was it, but actually it was even prior to that. So one of the things, I was having lunch at work one day and eating my acai bowl, and I like to joke, it's like, which one of these is not like the others, you know? Construction boots, hard hat, high-vis vest, people are eating sandwiches, burgers, sausage rolls, hot dogs, acai bowl. sandwiches, hot dogs. You know those little, which one of these is not like the other sort of kids, things that you do? So I was like, which one of these is not like the other? And probably circle the acai bowl and go like, what is this guy doing here? Anyway, touch wood. So I was eating my acai bowl and I had this moment of like, I don't know, divine intervention, I guess. And I Googled the word courage on my phone. And as I'm Googling the word courage, I'm having this complete epiphany. I'm not sure what impulse struck me to Google it, but I'm sitting here going, my whole life, I thought courage and fearlessness were the same thing. I thought you were fearless and you were courageous. You were courageous and you were fearless. But in this moment, I'm having this visceral awareness as I'm reading that courage is not having fear, which is what fearlessness is, right? Courage is absolutely having fear and taking action towards it anyway. And I was like, oh my God, courage is a skill. Like, it's something you exercise. It's something you develop. Like, and also that fear is a prerequisite for courage. Like, you almost need the fear so that you can exercise courage. If there was no fear, there's no opportunity to show up courageous, right? So that split started to emerge, and like in the very next moment, I was like, oh my god, fear, courage is a skill. The next like thought that dropped in was also another epiphany. It was a bit of a spiral. My community here, we call it mandala moments. I had a mandala moment where I was spinning in on myself, having an epiphany. And the very next awareness was, what is my biggest fear? And my biggest fear was like this safely mapped out path in front of me of get good grades, get a good job, raise a family, buy a nice house, buy a nice car, retire at 65. I call it white picket fence lane. You know, meandering down that lane, and then, you know, once you're 65, 70, then you can start to really live your life. And I'm like, but no, like, what about all the other years of my life? I'm not meant to live those, you know? And so that was this really interesting dilemma that I felt at the time. And the visceral awareness in that next moment was like, this is white picket fence lane. What's going on out here? And then I was like, no, tuck your head back in, you know? But it was like, that was my biggest fear. It was like, how do people such as Dawson, like authors, coaches, speakers, entrepreneurs, creatives, like having a positive impact on the planet, doing the work that they love, finding meaning in what they do, sharing that with the world, and being like able to make a living doing something that they totally love. Like, how? There are people doing that. And yet I've been conditioned to believe that this is my one and only opportunity, and it's the best opportunity ever for me. And it's like, but that feels so amazing that people are having a positive impact. Am I not allowed to do that? Like, it was just really weird, you know? And so that was this real big moment of like, holy cow, if I'm ever going to be someone of courage, I'm going to have to face down my, you know, the dragon. That was when I first met the dragon, which was like, oh, Korea is a dragon for you to face down, look down in the eyes and kind of go, okay, what are we going to do about this, you know? Talking about the hero's journey and how do you slay that dragon? Touch wood. So, and that's not to say that careers are going to be broken down or trouble. There are amazing gifts and tools and vehicles for you to become the person you're meant to be, like when you're in alignment, and that word is really important. So that was moment number one. Moment number two, also, like I think it was probably about 6 months later, I'm with a handpan, which is a musical instrument that I have an incredible affinity for, and I think the meditation teacher in me just can't help but be drawn to it. Very meditative instrument. But a handpan, a surfboard, and an exercise book of building out my life's vision across 12 different categories. So this is like an exercise that I do. And for people that want to know more about that process, inspiredevolution.com/vision. You can go run yourself through the same process I'm just about to describe. But anyway, so I'm building out my life's vision. I'm away in Costa Rica for 2 weeks, surfing, making music, eating natural food, and each day I was running myself through a vision, category for vision for each area of my life. And as I get to categories, because we do health, character, mental health, like everything, emotional wellness, and eventually you get to career and finance. There's stages 9 and 10, and there's 11 and 12, which keep going. When I do career, I've had this moment of like, I'm writing my ideal career down, and I'm recognizing that like this is where I'm currently at. The process is quite straightforward. It's like, hey, where are you at now? What do you currently believe that's gotten you there right now? Where would you like to be? What would you need to believe to be where you currently then would like to then go? And what are some of your action steps? So it's a 5-step process for each of those 12 categories. It's super straightforward. It's not rocket science. But taking the time to do it is important, right? It takes about an hour for each category. Taking the time to do that. And as I did the career one, I was like, oh my God, like there's such a delta here. And also, I think looking at your life across 12 categories, in the West, we give so much importance to the work that we do. It's like, hey, my name's Amrit, I'm a coach. It's like, who are you? What do you do? So what do you do is the very next thing. It's not like, hey, how's your family? Hey, how's your emotional health? Hey, how is your like moral compass going recently? Or hey, you know, like, how's your physical well-being been going? Like, you don't ask those questions. Like, hey, what do you do? What do you do? That's the very next thing. And so we give so much preference to that. But when you lay your life out across 12 different categories, you realize this is just one aspect of who you are. So I've gone through this process, had this realization that like this is the one area that's actually holding back a lot of the other areas. Like I'm not the person, the character I want to be. My emotional well-being isn't great because this. I don't have time for to like cook meals and like, you know, go to the gym. My health is not in the place I want to be. My relationships are compromised because I've been working 6 days. So all the other categories were being impacted by this one career category. And so I gave myself permission to basically look at this and go, okay, what do I do with this particular instance? And I'm having this realization of, I think I have to let go of my career. And just as I do this, I'm also like influenced by Jungian philosophy, and I walk out into the the surf hotel that I'm staying in, beautiful place, lobby. And there's a gentleman there who's just met me, and he's like, you okay, mate? You look like you've seen a ghost. And I sit down on the couch, and I'm like, man, I think I'm going to quit my job. And the guy turns around and goes, "That's fantastic news!" and I'm looking at him like, "What? Like, what are you on? Like, what are you on? You know, like, what?" And he goes, "I just quit my job." And I'm like, "Synchronicity, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do." And I'm like, "What is going on here?" And turns out he starts sharing his story because I'm just still in shock, right? That A, that happened, and B, this guy's like reacting this way. And so he's talking to me, and I'm like, he's the same. He's a structural engineer. I was a structural engineer. We did the same work. And then he is literally coming through Costa Rica on his way to China. He got an email in his inbox which said, "Hey, looking for a different career? Teach English in China." And he's just like, you know what? He was sitting in his office desk and just had an epiphany, and he was like, "I'm out." And it was like he'd been doing his engineering for the longest time as well. And I was just like, "Are you real? Like, what is going on? Like, I've just met like an earth angel. Like, here's someone that's actually just embodied the transformation that I've just been contemplating if I ever needed a sign." Right? And I think that's where the signs are always present and all these moments are there. Like, and there's so many other moments that are stacked in on top of that. But those are the two moments, touch wood, which really settled in for me to recognize a shift is definitely underway and is required and is being prescribed by the universe. It's going to require a little bit of courage for me to really step into it, though.
So look next at where you might be needing to find that courage, where you may be getting signals from the universe, where you might be ignoring signals, and we'll get more into that in the next segment. You're listening to High Energy Health. We're going to a break right now. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You have a to-do list, right? Well, that list may be your biggest obstacle to success. Sure, it contains activities that help you achieve your goals, but it's also packed with time-sucking obligations that are not in alignment with your life's purpose. In a new white paper, Dr. Dawson Church explains the difference between a to-do list and a success list. Download it at successlist.net. Create a success list, and successlist.net will show you how to manifest your dreams at light speed. See successlist.net. Why do you attract the same kinds of people over and over again and look for love in all the wrong places? Scientific research has shown it's because of a personality pattern called your attachment style. Programmed early in your childhood, your attachment style dictates your relationship choices throughout your life. At LovingRelationshipsNow.com, Dr. Dawson Church demonstrates the three basic styles. A free quiz at LovingRelationshipsNow.com identifies the attachment styles of your friends and loved ones. Visit LovingRelationshipsNow.com.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. It works quickly and has no side effects. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com. That's tappinggift.com. Don't suffer when help is at your fingertips. Get your manual at tappinggift.com today.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. My guest today is Amrit Sandhu. His website is inspiredevolution.com. So before we go to that next question, I just want to give people a moment here to reflect with you on those signals, on opening your awareness to those signals, hearing those signals. Maybe those signals are there and we aren't listening. And you paint yourself into this place where you were away from your usual environment, away from your job, away from your family, away from home. You could do that self-reflection. You could look at all the different parts of your life. So you really had set yourself up, opened your set of possibilities in your mind to all kinds of new movement. What do you recommend people do to take that step back where they can look themselves objectively and start to get a sense of where they are and where they might go?
Yeah, taking time out to pause and reflect. And, you know, there's a reason retreats are called retreats, because you get to retreat. Like, you get to, and it's actually a treat for you, right? It's like being with yourself by yourself is a treat. And you can retreat yourself to yourself by going on a retreat, right? Now, that can be a facilitated retreat where you go away, something as short as, you know, a weekend, just from away from the city and the hustle and the bustle and the noise and the lights and all the stuff. And just, you know, so for a lot of people tuning in, you know, a couple of hours away and, you know, you're in a retreat and you don't have to, like, it doesn't have to be an organized paid retreat. It's like I went to Costa Rica for 2 weeks. That's pretty, you know, it was just a surfboard and an instrument and a personal development exercise that I knew I wanted to run myself through. Like, that was, I organized my own retreat for myself, you know, capacity of one, you know, trainer and capacity, you know, trainer is the student, but it was, you know, and so there's so many different ways to retreat. But I do believe in today's society where we're always plugged in, that taking a moment to unplug and just give yourself the space, which you can argue is what meditation and mindfulness does, right, in micro doses throughout the day, yeah, it's taking that time to retreat inwards. So for me, that's going to be the response, is taking the time to retreat. What that looks like is completely up to you. There are yoga retreats in your local environment. There are meditation retreats. There's a people that want to go bird watching and going away for a retreat on the week. There's a health and wellness, like just healthy eating retreat that's coming up, like in your local area. There's a place that you've wanted to get away to with your family, you know, just to camp for a little while. That's a retreat that's waiting for you. There's so much available to you. My invitation to you is also just on that note, like, there is this, oh yeah, I'll go away, retreat, and maybe, you know, go away with the boys for a weekend and, you know, drink a lot of alcohol and that'll be a retreat. It can be helpful to blow off some steam, but that's not quite what I'm talking about when I'm talking about unplugging. You know, there's just something to be mindful of how your nervous system is going when you're going in these retreat spaces. You want to go somewhere to unwind, and things like alcohol, excess caffeine, like, they're winding you back up further, right? So your nervous system isn't actually relaxing. And if you need to know what it's like, or what it feels like to have your nervous system relaxed, just rewind back to the meditation we shared before. In that, the spaciousness you're feeling, that is your nervous system kind of going, great. And you want that as a symptomology of you being on retreat. And you want that for an extended period of time. And in those spaces, you're more open to inspiration. In those spaces, things can drop in. Yeah. Things are much more available to you when you take the time to unplug and retreat.
I think those are great guidelines. I'm going to repeat some of them here. So it is getting away, and it doesn't have to be a long distance, doesn't have to be a long time. It doesn't have to be a radical disruption of your life. It can be something as simple as taking an organized class or even just creating time for yourself in nature. It doesn't have to be weeks long. It can be just a weekend or a few days long. And so you want to give yourself that space and then not get into substances. And I probably would add to that, as well as alcohol, drugs, smoking, and so on, caffeine, I add media. So you want to make sure that your retreat is a media-free zone and that the medium you're listening to is your own being and the rhythm of nature around you. So just, you know, you don't load up your device with all the Netflix shows you haven't quite finished binge-watching yet. That's also not going to help you in reaching that penultimate state. Think about what you might do to give yourself that space. And earlier, in Amrit's earlier story, you mentioned the anxious and the walls closing in on him, and then as you breathe, the walls receded again. This is your place to give yourself that space of your walls receding, of giving you room for your soul, room to be, room to hear new possibilities. And so in your journal right now, I'd like you to make a note of the concept of a retreat. And I'd like you then just to give yourself a micro retreat plan that you'll execute and do it in the next month. So I don't want this to take you like a year to plan and, you know, it's going to take 3 weeks and you're going to wait a long way away and it's going to cost thousands of dollars. Can you do? That's really simple. Amrit mentioned just going and camping and pitching a tent in the woods somewhere. That's all you need too. If you look up retreat centers in your local area, you'll find there are Buddhist retreat centers and there are Sufi retreat centers and there are Hindu retreat centers, and there are Christian retreat centers, and guess what? You don't have to be a Christian or a Buddhist or a Hindu. They won't even ask you when you call to make a reservation. They don't care. They just know you're a soul, a fellow journeyer, and you are doing a retreat. So find those. Often they're really low cost. I know that in the areas I've lived, I find the retreat centers. I find ones that are close by. And many of them go out of their way to make it possible for anyone who wants to get away to do that. They are not expensive. They don't have a lot of overhead. So I want you to make note in your journal now about planning the simplest retreats to yourself in the next 30 days. Got it? I'm going to go to a break right now. And you can make a few more notes while we're in the next break. You're listening to High Energy Health. We'll be right back. For more.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
Everyone knows that losing weight fast is dangerous. In fact, the U.S. government's Center for Disease Control recommends losing no more than 1 to 2 pounds a week. But is that true? Startling new research shows that people who lose weight rapidly often have better long-term results. Now, award-winning researcher Dr. Dawson Church and registered dietitian Karen Donaldson team up to review all the evidence at 10poundsaweek.com. Download their free report at 10poundsaweek.com. That's 10poundsaweek.com. Make a six-figure income and help others overcome their deepest traumas, anxieties, and fears. It's easy to have a rewarding career in energy healing, and you can become certified in less than a year. Not sure if you'll like it? Try it. Download a free course sampler at newhealer.com. Taught by expert faculty at newhealer.com, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies, and you can even train at your own pace while supporting your own health. So visit newhealer.com. Do it now. That's newhealer.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Your DNA is not your destiny. There are many genes in your cells that are turned on and off by your emotions, your experiences, and even your beliefs. In his brilliant new book, The Genie in Your Genes, best-selling researcher Dr. Dawson Church shows how you can cultivate a stress-free mental state that activates the genes that boost your immunity and energy levels. Voted best health book by USA Book News, The Genie in Your Genes is packed with practical advice on how to apply the science of epigenetics for health and longevity. Get the genie in your genes today.
And then we only have 1 8-minute segment left, so where should we go in that segment to be of the most service to the people listening?
Yeah, so the key thing that I would like to invite people into, we've discussed alignment a lot here today and the importance of it. And so just to sort of, when we're talking about alignment, what is it? How do we achieve it? What are we really talking about? Because it can be such a pie in the sky concept. And my training, you remember from background, is like, you know, my PhD or my qualifications and everything is in engineering, which is a very grounded sort of modality. But the key thing that we're trying to align is our soul to our personality, right? Your soul has a reason that it's here, right? And if you don't believe that, then maybe this isn't the right podcast to be tuning into. But fundamentally, like, we are the universe looking in on itself. And I think everybody tuning into this kind of podcast can get on board with that. With consciousness is having this very, very incredible experience of Dawson over there and Amrit over here, and yet we are all consciousness. Like, it's pretty miraculous what's actually going on in this field of oneness. We're experiencing duality. But all that to say, what's the point of understanding that? Well, there's a lot. People have asked what's the purpose of that, and we'll never really understand. People have been asking the purpose of life from the get-go. But one of the things we can infer from that, in my humble opinion, is that the universe is curious. So it wants to look in on itself. And so it's looking in on itself as Amrit, it's looking in on itself as Dawson, but Dawson's lens, if you will, is slightly different to Amrit's lens, if you will, on its own journey of self-observation into the universe. So what is the nature of your lens, right? This is the engineer speaking now. It's like, I want to understand what my lens is. And so my lens, right, is connection, contribution, and celebration. These are my values. So my soul wants to look through my personality, and the cleanest and where the most amount of light comes through the aperture, I'm talking camera language now, but the most amount of light comes through the aperture when your soul is lined up and your personality is lined up to your values. The way I describe it is that your values are the pillars of the temple that is you, right? So then life force energy, soul energy, is what flows through that temple as a metaphor, right? So what are these pillars of the temple that is you? So for those that want to know, there's a quick, you know, mini course, masterclass, 20 minutes. Now, you can be as clear on your values as I am on mine. InspiredEvolution.com/values. That's InspiredEvolution.com/values. And you can know your values just like I know mine's a connection, contribution, celebration. If we take a quick moment to just audit my previous career, project management, high-rise towers, is there much connection? No. Contribution? A little bit. Celebration? Not really. If I look at podcasting, coaching, public speaking, do I get to connect? Yeah, invariably, a lot. Contribution? Absolutely. Celebration? There's a lot of it, right? Tajwood, Wilson and I are having a great time doing this today, and I'm sure you're having a great time tuning in as well, right? So this is like living in alignment to my values is where like so much energy arrives, so much health and wellness is there. Like, you find purpose and meaning in there because you're doing what you were put here to do. So people often go, what is it that, you know, what is it that I'm aligning to? Align to your own values. Now, the key thing you remember, I'll give you a bit of a model and a formula so you can walk away with something tangible, is obviously I highly recommend you go get your values figured out. So then you've got your curiosities, right? So curiosity is sacred. Curiosity is something that is really sacred to you and your experience of the universe because the universe is looking in on itself, right? So if it's having this interesting experience, you've got your innate curiosities, right? And now if you go do the values exercise, that'll help you determine whether your curiosities that you've been spending your time cultivating recently are your innate sacred curiosities or whether they're what I call hijacked curiosities. What are hijacked curiosities, Amrit? They're basically the curiosities that your family installed in you, society installed in you, you should give a shit about vanity, you should care about this, you should care about that, but it doesn't really mean if you care about getting good grades, you should care. Some people that's great for. Some people it's not, right? But you get, your curiosity gets hijacked so that you can sort of, well, ultimately if you do some inner child work, you start to realize you do it all so that you can receive love, right? The way that you think you'll receive it the best. But it sort of skews the pot plant that is you into like reaching for the light in ways that isn't organically, it's just growing vertically and straight, right? So you have your innate curiosities. And if you ever want to know, oh, am I you running through my innate, true, sacred curiosity, or if I'm running through a filtered, hijacked curiosity, if you want to be able to discern the two, just check in with your values. Am I connecting in this curiosity point? Am I contributing? Am I celebrating? That's my check. Your check will be your top three values. From that point, you can see, okay, I'm really doing something that I'm curious about. Now, if you play at the intersection of two or three curiosities, that's all it takes for you to cultivate a passion. So curiosity leads to passion through the art of cultivation. You just need the intersection of two or three curiosity points. And then you start filling up. This is what they say, fill up your own cup. So a lot of people running around in misaligned careers, let's just continue with my example, but like misaligned relationships, your cup's not full. Why is your cup not full? Because you're not doing the things you enjoy. What do you enjoy? The things you're curious about. Things you're innately curious about. The things that line up to your values. So spend time exercising your values by exercising your curiosities. Fill up your cup of passion by cultivating those. Hopefully that's making sense. From that point, people go, okay, I got to passion, Amrit, but what's my purpose? Well, your passion is for you, and the purpose is you just serving your passion to the world, right? So I am listening to conversations like Dawson's on my podcast, and I'm listening to this all the time, and I'm passionate about the podcast. I'm passionate about personal development. I'm passionate about spiritual development. I'm passionate about learning. It just so happens that other people getting value from it, it starts to look like a purpose. I'm just serving it. So just like your curiosity needed to be cultivated to facilitate passion, your passion needs to be served to facilitate purpose. But don't rush the service piece. Allow your cup to fill up to such a point that you're just naturally overflowing from the overflower's cup. You end up sharing your passions, and that is the formula for purpose. So we ended up at purpose. That is your purpose, right? And it's fueled by passion, which is fueled by curiosity, which is underpinned by your values. So get clear on what your values are.
That comes first, and everything else then follows, and you also measure all of those things against your values. Amrit, thank you so much for your service, your contribution today. I know you've really inspired me. I've had a wonderful time. It's been a total joy beginning to end, and just the energy and the caring that comes through this is so powerful. And so for those of you who've been sharing this wonderful conversation with us, you have your homework assignment now. You know what to do. Amrit's giving you those links to those resources on his website, which we'll make sure we add to the show notes as well. And love yourself enough to shift. Apply these things. Have your plan. And you'll find that as you just take these small steps, like the exercises you recommended, like that retreat, you will find that your life starts to change. You'll open to more of what the universe has in mind for you, which I can assure you is infinitely grander than anything you can possibly imagine for yourself.
Amen.
Amrit, thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Oh, thank you so much, Dawson. Such a treasure and a privilege to be here. Like I said, so honored and grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Every blessing and much love to be back again. So thanks again. Be healthy. Stay happy. Till then, every blessing.